You're listening to I Got That One,
presented by Tom Anyone.
Hello, and there you have it. We now have two teams qualified for the semi-finals.
I know, how exciting.
Yes, and this one was more of a roller coaster than I was expecting it to be.
It was extremely close. It came down to the wire, but that made it all the more fun to watch.
Absolutely. It was definitely, again, a bit more of a slow burner to begin with, but the tension started ramping up near the end.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a result that I was not quite expecting.
I wasn't expecting it given how things were going.
Mm.
But then, we had a bit of a surprise at the end. 5-point difference to determine the winner. But I think that's why we all watched this show.
Literally
and love it
the
so much.
Last question. Although it really shouldn't have been. Okay, now let's stop talking about such a generic way and let's actually start talking about the details. So it is the fourth or the fifth
somewhere in this
of the quarterfinals, yes.
So we had Emmanuel Cambridge versus Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And like we've mentioned, Edinburgh won with 150, I believe, to 145.
Yes, although considering how many drop points they had, I think they kind of got away with murder here.
I think so. I think at least 10 or 15 drop points. But yeah, it was the way it was going with those drop points, with Emmanuel very slowly and steadily ramping up, getting quite good on their starters as well as their bonuses. But then Edinburgh really came up from behind at the end very strongly, and with those 5 additional points clinched it.
Indeed. So who should we talk about first? I think I have a bit more to say about Edinburgh, so let's quickly talk about Emmanuel first.
Okay.
Generally, I think if there was an award for most improved team, I would definitely give it to this team.
I think so, yeah.
Considering how, rushed and kind of, rough they felt in the first round, they've really come into their own, where I feel like the lines of communication are much, much better.
Mm.
They're definitely much more on the ball. Maybe they're a little overcautious now, considering...
Did you see that? I just thought that we definitely saw them progress from their first outing.
Mm.
And I think now they're at the stage where they're just kind of... They're at that level. They've achieved a certain level. But I think they're kind of maintaining. I think that's the word that I was looking for.
Sure. I mean, more in the sense that, in the past, especially in the best scoring losers in the second round, you got a sense that they got a little bit panicky at the end when their lead was in jeopardy and they were making it slightly too hasty buzz-ins.
Yep.
Whereas here, I feel like they've just kind of reined in that completely and are not doing any early buzzes unless they are absolutely sure that they're going to get the correct interruption.
Yeah, but I think even then, that strategy worked out pretty well for them.
It did for the most part. I'm just saying that, it might be slightly of an overcorrection, considering just how, fast and loose Edinburgh were playing with their starters.
Mm.
So, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that, considering how they've played previously, it's definitely quite an about face.
Yeah, well, they do have one more chance to come back. I don't know who they're going to play against next time. There's quite a few teams that have yet to go.
Indeed, it'll be interesting to see who they are paired up against.
We have St. John's still in the list.
St. John's and Trinity are playing next because they're the two teams that haven't had a second go around yet. And then we'll see who comes out with that one.
That
will be a very interesting matchup,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, I mean, I really like this Emmanuel team. I like Malcolm very much as a captain.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
They all have a nice spread of knowledge and disciplines. And mastery of those disciplines. So, good luck to them. I thought they did really well. It's fun to watch.
I think they're a very charming team, I would say. Just very pleasant, I would say, in the way they interact with each other.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, now that's not to say that I don't find the Edinburgh team pleasant as well, but it's a different kind.
It's a different different vibe for sure.
It's definitely a very laddie feel to that team, I have to say.
Yeah, I think that's the word.
Which, it happens when you have four cis guys on a team. It's going to happen. There's not really much you can do to control that, I guess. But there's definitely the kind of sense of a pub quiz feel almost to this
Which,
team.
Which, I think some teams work in that kind of energy with that kind of pressure on them. And I think it showed for this team. I think they also work really well together. I think maybe of all the teams we've seen, they have the best dynamic out of through all 4 of them. So.
Oh, absolutely, hands down. This is definitely a group of lads who I feel like, definitely hang out. At least that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, which is important. I think we've said so in previous seasons as well, that when they look like they're friends, even outside of University Challenge, I think that really helps.
Absolutely. And I think what I can definitely tell is they're the most comfortable team in the competition.
Yeah.
Especially the way that Thomas is just lounging in his chair the entire match. And I have to say,
he had his arm draped over the chair most of the time.
Honestly, also from the very beginning, the way they lined up and the way they introduced themselves at the beginning.
Yeah.
They were giving me real kind of Westlife, Boyzone vibes. You know?
Definitely very relaxed. And.
But also just, you know, the way they introduced themselves with the big hand gestures as they're talking.
To each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Or also introducing themselves to the camera. It was very, I don't know, emphatic, I must say.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, they are a very good team, very strong communication. Sun Da is a fantastic captain who's able to kind of get the best out of Russell Jones, out of Thomas, out of Karanake. They're a fantastic, you know, four-man team. But they were quite sloppy this time around, I have to say.
Yeah, so that's why I think Emmanuel managed to come in with so many correct starters and bonuses as well. That's why I really thought it was going to go to Emmanuel, because like you said, Edinburgh did drop a number of points. I think that might have shaken them a little bit. That meant that they had to rev up towards the end, which ultimately did go their way. But yeah, I also did feel like compared to previous outings, that sharpness wasn't quite there. But hey, you know, they managed to salvage it, which is really impressive considering.
Yeah, I mean, they were being very aggressive on the buzzer, and, you know, that's fine. That's a totally valid way to do it. But there was definitely, you get a sense that they could have easily cracked 200 points if they'd maybe held off a few seconds to let Paxman finish his question. Because twice, they answered with what they thought the question was going to be, but if they'd listened a second longer, they would have realized that actually that was part of the question is going to be something else. Which, I don't know, I feel like maybe they weren't quite punished enough for that, because they still were able to win in the end. But, you know, that kind of play, it's not going to handle them well against, you know, a team like Imperial, who are just as, you know, cogs working together. You know, they're just as efficient a team, but they're nowhere near as sloppy. So, I don't know. I think that's going to be a fascinating matchup if we see these two teams play together.
Yeah. I mean, well, I you know, that said, I did think that they are such a strong team that even when it may not look like they are as sharp as maybe some of the other teams, they still manage to do really, really well. And I think they have an energy that other teams don't, but I think still it's a type of dynamic that does work. And you never know. I think sometimes that might win over somebody who's a much more kind of well-oiled machine. So it really depends, I think, on who these teams play up against.
No, that's true. And don't get me wrong, this is not me, you know, trying to give them a big red cross over their work.
No.
This is coming from a point of love. Yeah. I love sloppy, messy teams who, you know, are kind of flying with the seat of their pants kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And I love that we have this kind of energy going on what can sometimes be a bit of a stuffy TV show.
Yeah, and maybe it's a long game, right? Sometimes you present yourself in a certain way, you kind of undermine yourself, and then when people are least expecting it, bam, you come in with the last 5 points.
You know, you're not wrong. There's definitely certain vibes of, you know, the Brandon era of Imperial going on.
I know, that's great.
So
we mentioned that to Brandon quite a lot on this podcast.
I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with. And it was an important point, right? You know, for the longest time, we thought that, oh, this Imperial team is relying so heavily on Brandon. Are they really going to survive?
Yeah.
And then in the final, Brandon basically doesn't talk and everyone else just kind of comes in.
I
so
know. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's just no way of telling until we get to the final. I still think that Edinburgh are definitely final material, like Imperial are. But it really depends on who they go up against in the next match, because I don't know, if they're facing Imperial in the semi-finals, that's going to be a really, really tough one to watch.
I know, I would look forward to that. That'd be extremely exciting.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so, shall we move into some favourite questions?
Indeed. There were a couple, not as many as last time, because there were just fewer questions being asked. But I really liked the one about film editors and directors.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Because this is something which is a little bit of a topic which I've become more interested in, where often when we talk about these great movies that we've seen, oh, you know, The Godfathers or The Star Wars is, so, oh, this director, they're such a wonderful, they're this amazing auteur. But often what makes these work is the editor behind the scenes making often this big pile of film into something that's a coherent story.
Yeah, which I thought that was the job of the producer or the director themselves, but I think this is the first time I'm really understanding the role of an editor. I mean, obviously I know that goes into books and manuscripts, but not really with film, so that was great to see.
Well, I mean, the producer's more the kind of person behind the scenes bringing them together. They're the ones who kind of do the hiring, getting everything together.
The operational side of it.
Yeah, and the one who does all the beautiful cinematography, that's, you know, the director of photography.
Yeah.
Know. And then you have, you know, the sound guy, they're the one in charge of the mixing and the recording. Sure. Director's mainly for the actors.
Vision? Oh, okay.
Yeah, although fair enough, yep. Sometimes the directors are also producers and also take other roles, but the editor is the one who takes it all and merges it together.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the original trilogy of Star Wars is so great, whereas the prequels were a bit of a sloppy mess, is that the original three were edited by Marsha Lucas, who was George Lucas's amazing wife.
Yeah.
They got divorced in the evening time, and then George Lucas didn't have an editor who was able to tell him no.
Gee.
And that's how we got the bloated mess that were the prequels. That had elements of something fantastic, but they needed much sharper editing and someone to say, no, George, bad George.
Wow, and some of these names just don't go recognized. That's not fair.
Exactly. Well, just like, you know, the reason why Martin Scorsese has such a consistent output is that he's been working with the same editor for the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And that came out in the round this time.
Yeah, and it's great that we both had a question about it. So it shows that there's some recognition, but also that we had people kind of knowing what the answers were. I thought that was a very nice, encouraging aspect.
That question went to Emmanuel. I thought they did really well on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like the science fiction novels bonuses because, I just got quite a few of those because I really love science fiction genre. So, yeah, that was just fun. I think nothing really much to add from me other than I was excited for that.
Yeah, I quite like that. Maybe we got kind of the origins of a Mass Effect reference with the Shrikes being an element of the Bradbury novel, and then the Shrike Abyssal is
a system within Mass Effect. Yeah, I think there's so much of science fiction that borrows from each other. Even Hyperion by Dan Simmons is a kind of a space opera, and there's so many space operas. I think they all borrow from each other, and it's cool, it's fun.
Well, it's just like fantasy is all just basically one big stewing pot of the same five or six authors being. That's not a bad thing necessarily.
No, everything is derivative.
Yeah. Also, I really loved the first picture round, which was English loanwords in French, which is not something that's talked about a lot. Because I loved how Paxman said the Gallicized pronunciation is optional.
It's optional.
And so Raphael, you know, he saw an opportunity and he took it with full force to say sandwich.
Sandwich.
Just wonderful. The kind of almost schoolboyish glee he took in saying sandwich.
Yeah, that's great.
Also liked it because of, you know, the little jabs that Paxman was taking in the French language, saying despite the best attempts of the Academy.
Yeah.
Referring to the, I don't know what the actual title is, but that bunch of old white dudes who decide what will become a new French word.
Yeah,
and then deciding what gender this word is going to have.
Yeah.
They are a ridiculous bunch.
That's incredible that still exists. You know?
And you know what's best? Mm. They dress up in top hats and swords when they have their meetings.
That should not be the case anymore in 2022.
Such a French...
I know, but hey, some people hold on to their traditions.
Hey, you know, more power to them. At least it shows pride in your language rather than letting it backslide.
Yeah, I quite like one of the last questions on Matrix. I mean, I didn't get a single thing of it, but it was really fun watching Edinburgh work it out with their hands flying about and trying to calculate things.
Okay, as someone who both had to do matrices at A-level and then have been reintroduced to them rather rudely in my further education, I hate matrices with a burning passion because they are so convoluted, but they are such a fundamental part of machine learning.
Yeah.
And it was giving me flashbacks of two different exams as I was watching that question. So I personally hated it. But I'm glad that someone enjoyed
I know. Any question about mathematics just gives me flashbacks. So, but yeah, I think this was really... There was levity to it.
Of course.
How the Edinburgh team were working it out.
Yeah. Speaking of levity, I really enjoyed the music round, not because it was opera, because I've made my feelings rather clear about whenever that comes up. But just watching Nicole pull these wonderful faces, trying to
figure out
who it is.
Yeah,
she has such an emotive face when she's, you know, concentrating or trying to remember something. She just crunches up. It's like so much fun to watch.
Exactly.
And then, of course, you know, flags. Everyone enjoys a good flag round. Mm-hmm. Although this time it was describing flags.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, of course, I got all three of... No, I got two of the three correct.
Oh, you should be very proud.
I didn't know the North Carolina one because, you know, who cares about who state cares? Flags? Anyway, one final one is the English geography nerd is still there.
He's lurking.
Still lurking. They're still lurking.
We don't know, yeah.
We don't know, but they at least dress it up in Roman Britain. Amazing. And, you know, Roman town names to, yes, kind of hide, you know, their vicious little attempts to derail. The gremlin-like glee they have at tripping up these contestants about English geography.
Yeah.
So, any other questions you want to talk about? I think we covered most of them.
That was everything. I'm happy to go into some stats, courtesy of Stats Corner.
Indeed. Thank you very much, UC Stats, for doing all this wonderful, wonderful work for us lazy podcasters to do.
So, we talked about Edinburgh. Uh-huh. And there were a total of 4 incorrect interruptions this match, all 4 from Edinburgh.
Wow.
5 correct interruptions from them, mm-hmm, with 4 correct interruptions from Emmanuel.
Okay.
But then, yeah, with the final score of 150 to 145, it was it really, really came down to the wire. It was really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So Edinburgh managed 9 out of 17 of their starter questions.
Okay.
Emmanuel, 8 out of 11.
Okay.
So actually, Emmanuel got a higher percentage of the starter questions correct, about 72%, compared to Edinburgh's 53%.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously, I think Edinburgh did a lot better on their bonuses. So they managed about 16 out of 24 of their bonuses, whereas Emmanuel managed 13 out of 24 of their bonuses. So Edinburgh came in with 67%. So I think...
Really?
Yeah, I think that's where it really made the difference, because Emmanuel, I think there were a few bonuses that they did lose out on, so they couldn't capitalize on their... lead on the starters, and that's where Edinburgh, I think, managed to close the gap.
That's fair. There were definitely a few where they were quite unlucky. There was one about poisonous plants, which they obviously really struggled with.
Yeah, I think the music round as well. I don't think Granger was very proud of herself, but you know, I think that happens sometimes when you are very when you're seen as the expert of a particular subject, then that can add a bit more pressure.
For sure. But I think even then, you know, they both got above 50% in their bonuses, which is kind of, you know, the kind of stats we're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of stats, what I love is that they updated it and showed that Edinburgh now have the most incorrect interruptions of the season with 13.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the next closest have 9. So really, they're leading in the one way that counts, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really fun stat to pull out, to be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that Russell Jones retweeted that.
Yeah. Well, you know...
I think they're kind of proud of themselves, to be honest.
To be honest, they also have the most correct interruptions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so just the most interruptions, full stop.
They just don't want to let Paxman speak, it seems.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I understand that feeling.
Yeah.
So, I think that's it for stats. So now it's time to talk about the, according to Twitter, extremely popular best dressed.
I know.
So we once again did a poll on Twitter, and last week we had about 20-ish people respond. Now we had almost 100.
Oof.
So I feel of people had a lot of opinions about how people were dressed this time around.
We're getting too popular for our own good over here, and I got that one.
I know. Soon we're going to get such airs above a station and get so hoity-toity because, at least 100 people responded to our poll. But the poll's closed. Thank you very much for everyone who had their say. And
so the popular best dress goes to
Cara Malcolm.
Yes.
And I think, honestly, we agree.
We agree. So our best dress also goes to Cara Malcolm. I thought she looked great in her kind of black top with that patterned look, a bit of sheerness going on. But I think overall, with her hair and everything, I think she always looks on point. But I love this top in particular, really elegant and chic.
I'm going to say it looks nice and elegant and chic from a distance, but then when you get closer, you realize it's all faces.
Yeah.
And so it's also a little bit quirky as well. I think it suits her very well. It was, dare I say it, maybe the best top we've seen all season.
I think so too. Yeah. Well, high praise.
But of course, our runners-up were Rishi Sundar and Nicole Pullinger.
Yeah, for sure. Very nice knitwear going on.
I think Nicole always has fantastic tops on. Yeah. You know, there's no notes about that. You know, see previous episodes where she won Best Dressed.
But
then also, I think that Sundar, even though I'm still slightly upset that he cut his wonderful hair.
You're still in mourning.
Yes, I think that his ensemble was quite well done.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Mr. Russell Jones did come last in our poll, but he was part of the curator's selection for a good reason.
Yeah,
I felt that he looked quite smart in his red knitwear.
Yeah, hey, he's among the top four, you know? It's great.
Yeah. And I think a special mention does have to go once again to the entire Edinburgh team for really bringing the late 90s vibe of, you know,
I know,
basically 50,000 or so groups. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, they definitely look like they had a one-hit wonder in 98.
I mean, just kind of fade into obscurity.
And now they're on University Challenge.
I know.
I mean, what makes it all the funnier is that most of them were probably not even born when these bands were active.
What was it, last episode? Then the people didn't have a clue who Daft Punk was.
Well, oh, God, that hurt me to my soul.
I know. Oh, well. Well, on that soul-hurted note.
Yes, thank you very much once again for listening. It's heating up, I have to say.
It is.
You know, the match is getting closer. There's now upsets happening more frequently. So it's getting close to the end. And I can't wait to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, so if you've got predictions, if you agree or disagree with what we've been talking about on this podcast, feel free to hit us up at igtopodcast@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter, as I got that one.
Indeed. Give us any of your feedback. We've had some lovely correspondences from you and also from a couple of people who are taking part this season. Please keep coming in. We'd love to hear more from you.
Yeah, in fact, we'd love to hear more about your process. Actually, I think that's really interesting.
Please don't share any secrets from, we'll be very hush-hush. But of course, if you have anything about, you know, little funny anecdotes, we would love to hear that.
For sure.
But until next time, thank you so much for listening. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.